agenda?
I'll so move.
I'll second it.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And approval of the minutes from March 15th?
I'll so move.
I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, approved. And to the public comment and communication, and you said we have John from Platteville Senior Center.
Right, we have John Weidinger here today. He's the Platteville Senior Center Manager for the City of Platteville, and we met last week, and he has some news about senior centers, so I just asked him if he would maybe stop by, because you guys have all been interested in it, so he can give us a quick update and kind of...
Yes, indeed. So thank you all for having me here this morning. Thanks, Lori. Just to let you know, in case you don't know what's been going on at the Senior Center in Platteville, late last year, when Platteville was putting its budget together, they needed to make some cuts, and the Senior Center was one of those cuts. And we're going to see our budget cut by about 43% once we get into 2018. Not a big budget the way it is. That's going to take us down to about $50,000 a year we can expect from the city. So it's a significant hit for us. And, you know, after some initial frustration, of course, you know, I was really I've been amazed at how many people have come out and, you know, put that their sort of frustration aside and work towards the future. And we really see a lot of opportunity here, actually. One of the things it looks like we're going to do is change locations. Shirley was just giving me compliments on our current location, but we're going to change, but it's a step up. I don't know if you're familiar with O.E. Gray School in Platteville. It's an elementary school at one time, and I don't know at what point they stopped holding classes there.
5 years ago. Even longer than that, I think, because we've had a Head Start classroom for a long time. Of course, we were in there when it was an elementary school.
Oh, okay, okay. So the school district was kind enough to come to us and offer us a significant amount of space there at a very affordable rate. Our rent that we will pay is inclusive of utilities and whatnot, and that's less than what we currently pay just in utilities at our current building. So it's really, you know, not only a financial savings, but the space is so fantastic.
And it's all one level.
Yes, all one level. You know, there's plenty of green space out there. Everybody who's toured the facility has really come out, I mean, just full of ideas about the space. So we are super excited about this. A group of citizens are putting together a nonprofit organization, Platteville Area Senior Services, of what they called it. And initially it'll be sort of a Friends of the Senior Center type organization doing fundraising. But I know that they hope to be more robust as, you know, the years pass and really get into, you know, getting grants and becoming a significant partner in providing senior services in Platteville and the larger area, which is so something I wanted to note. You know, we hope that after we move and find our footing, that we can become a bigger asset to the area at large, not just in Platteville. You know, we have folks who come from Lancaster, from Cuba City, from Belmont, but we really hope to, you know, with Platteville being, you know, the biggest town in the region, to be something, yeah, in a sense, it really is, to do something that just is a benefit to as many people as possible. Anybody who's willing to make the trek to Platteville will have, you know, something to gain from coming there. And so I'm looking for, you know, as you guys, as a countywide perspective here, you know, any ideas, opportunities, things that you may see, you know, in the future that we can collaborate on, we are wide open at this point. We really, really want to seize, opportunity out of the jaws of, you know, this crisis that we're facing here. We've got the city is enthusiastic about what we're planning to do and have, I guess, promised their support as much as they can moving forward. Of course, we've had a long partnership with the ADRC, which has been fantastic. The meal site, the overlap between the senior center and the meal site that's hosted at the senior center is amazing. It's a wonderful partnership, and something 21,000 meals in Platteville alone over the course of a year. It's a great thing. It's mutually beneficial. It's wonderful. And
should be a nice opportunity for some intergenerational programming, because the Head Start classroom is still there.
Oh, yes.
So.
There's some kids right down the hall. And now that we have this sort of, relationship with the school district, we hope to, get elementary school kids and high school kids in there, work with the university more. We just see this as a collaboration between the community, the county, the city, and the center, and the school district as well. I mean, all these entities really, I'm very excited about the next year, even though we are facing some financial challenges. And as we move forward, one of the things we'll be looking for are people from the area who may have some expertise in various areas, or experience, or just enthusiasm in various areas for doing things like fundraising. We'll have a fundraising committee. We're probably going to rebrand, as they say, and become, obviously, we'll stay focused on seniors, but not exclusive to seniors. I really think it's important to be inclusive of everybody, especially in a smaller town. You want to include as many people as possible. It's a no-brainer to me. The intergenerational programming is there's so many opportunities there. So we will likely kind of indulge on a marketing campaign. Where are we going to be? The senior center? The center? The community center? We don't know yet. We do have a class at Loras College, a marketing class, who's putting together a plan for us. That'll be a nice foundation for that. There will be ample opportunities for involvement in what is going to happen there at the center. I don't have a date yet, but I will let you all know. But I want to invite everybody here to what they like to call a visioning session, where we are just going to invite everybody from the area who has an interest in the future of the center to come meet, get to know each other, and exchange ideas about what the future could hold. I will, as soon as we have a date set for that, I will get that to you. But we're looking to move pretty quick. We hope to be in the building in September. There are some, we feel that we could move in tomorrow, but there are some improvements that we'd like to make beforehand to make things just a bit more accessible to folks. It's been an interesting process, of course. And there was an immense amount of support from the community. I've got to tell you, not a week goes by where somebody who I've never seen in the center and who I don't even think utilizes any of the services we provide comes up to me and is very concerned about what's going on, offering their support. It's been really wonderful to see the community come together like that. And I think that the future holds really great things for the Platteville Senior Center. And I want to extend, just let everybody know that we want your involvement. We want your opinions, your comments, your concerns, your criticisms, anything. We want to make this the best possible organization for as many people in the area as possible. We feel it's important to be a benefit to the county at large, the area at large. It's really wonderful. So, other than that, are there any questions?
Where's that building located in Platteville?
By the post office.
Huh?
By the post office.
Our current building is by the post office.
Oh, by
OE Gray.
When you come in, is it 80 that you come in on? Like, if you're coming in from this, from the north, when you come in and you kind of wind around, I don't know streets, so, and you got, there's the stop sign there, the school is, you come up to the stop sign, the first stop sign, and the school is right there. It's
right across the town, St. Mary's.
Yeah.
Catholic Church.
Oh, there's like a bicycle shop or something right there.
On the left-hand side, there is.
Yeah, so it's 80, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great location.
Yeah. It's more residential, so you don't have quite of that city.
You know, having a problem with parking and stuff.
Yeah, and then they've been wonderful, you know, with this offering. You know, we can use some of the blacktop that I think, you know, the kids used to play on.
Right.
Turn that into
I was hoping
a parking
that maybe
lot
we would
and do some stuff there.
To
so
do that a little bit.
It's a great location. It's a wonderful space. I mean, right now, Head Start is in there. Southwest Tech has some classes there. And there is a third occupant, which I just can never remember. Family Connections.
Family Connections.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Like so that's not a building that they were looking down the road to tear down.
The school district, my understanding is no. You know, never say never. Who knows? Somebody comes in with enough money, you don't know. But they really see it as a
kind of
way
a
to give back to the community.
Right.
Yeah.
They note, you know, Connie Valenza, the superintendent, you know, has made note of just the support that seniors give to school initiatives. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there was it? Year or two ago, they passed a referendum to do some improvements, and you know, seniors turn out to vote. They're always supportive of kids and education. They actually have turned down some for-profit entities that's wanted to lease space in there because they really want it to be a community, you know, non-profit, charitable place.
My experience with them is they were very easy to work with.
Yeah, very.
Didn't have any, you know, were willing to.
No.
Bend over backwards for us. So it was
they've been wonderful. The school district, the school board has been great. It's really good. Really, really wonderful.
Yeah, I think the space will be very nice. Because it's crowded. I mean, your building is nice, but it gets crowded there when you have really big events.
It does.
You know,
it can easily get crowded. And it's essentially our space now. You know, it's been a center for about 35, 36 years. It's sort of just two large rooms, maybe 20 by 45 rooms. One of the issues we face is if you have even eight people at one end playing some cards, it sort of just occupies the whole room.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the noise, there's an old tin ceiling in there. I mean, it's a beautiful, cozy space, but it's not as functional as we'd like it to
so
be.
So what are they going to do with that building now?
That's a good question. I don't know. The city, of course, owns it. You know, I've heard everything from a parking lot to, you know, putting it back on the tax rolls. I don't know what will really happen there. We're hoping that if they do sell it, that they will hold the money in an endowment fund for senior services moving forward. That's a request that this task force made to them, and at least they're considering it. We'll see. I know the city can use some cash right now, so I don't know.
Is there a kitchen in this OE Gray?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, and one of the best things about this is, so I've only been in Platteville a bit, not even 3 years at this point, so the history I wasn't clear on. One of our participants at the center was a janitor at this school for years and years. Another one actually worked in the kitchen for quite a while. And before O.E. Gray was built, I think in 1953, that site had a little red brick schoolhouse on it where some of our participants went to school years and years and years ago. So there's a wonderful, you know, personal history there for a lot of folks. So that mm-hmm. gave me a lot of relief because I was like, oh, man, this place has become home for so many people. But knowing that they're happy about the new location has really, really been one of the better parts of this process.
It's been a well-maintained building, though. It really has. I at least when I was in it, it was.
I believe so, yeah. There's some, it looks
so
great.
So Ruth and I have plans to go back through the kitchen and just make sure that things are, you know, we don't cook there, so we still bring meals in, but, you know, we just want to make sure that
we have to have
some warming things,
yeah.
Right? So, but yeah, I don't foresee any issues with it. And John has mentioned through the grapevine as well that the Platteville School District could even potentially be interested in bidding, you know, being a vendor for us in the future or you know, submitting a bid. So I will talk to Connie about that process too. So because UW-Platteville's been a little shaky. They weren't sure if they were going to bid this last session, so when they did. So it would be nice to potentially have a backup. So.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I think there's a lot of potential there. I think there's a lot of nice things that could happen. So.
Absolutely. I know they're already looking at, the school district is looking at getting a grant to make one of the classrooms a technology room so we can...
We've got a sip and swipe program.
That's what I was thinking. Exactly. That would be absolutely perfect. We have a graduate right over there of the Simple Swipe program.
And I have a note to talk to some of the school districts as they get rid of some of their iPads and things like that, because they probably, that if we could potentially have some donated to us, because I just heard yesterday at a state meeting of a county that got several iPads from one of the schools, because even the older iPads will work with Sip and Swipe, but some, you know, the schools tend to cycle them out. So yeah, that'd be great. That's a great potential there. So very nice. Very cool.
Well, I appreciate your time. I hope to, you know, have contact with you all in the future. Anything that comes to mind, please let us know. I believe the city has revamped its website, and some of the documents and materials will be a little more readily available. If you have any questions, anything you want to look up there, you can always call me at the center. If I'm not there, leave a message, and I will get right back to you.
And right now, which is interesting, which I didn't quite realize, is your programming falls under the city rec department, correct? Is that correct?
Yes. When was it? The beginning of last year, we went under the Parks and Rec department.
Okay.
The center had been sort of a standalone thing.
Yeah.
Really no change in the day-to-day, just the reporting order is a little different. But, you know, again, that's absolutely wonderful, because I don't know that the Parks or the Recreation Department has done a whole lot of senior programming.
I thought maybe it would inspire them to maybe do more. I thought that was actually kind of nice.
I think this would be a way to nudge them into that.
There's a lot of different things that could be done for seniors, some of the pools and things like that.
There's a gym, Lily Grave. Exercise
classes. Yeah.
Super excited about that.
You can have yoga and Tai Chi.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's
going to be good. I was closer.
Well, that's what. So thank you all for your time. We could have a senior Head Start dodgeball tournament.
Oh.
Tug of war.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Is there any other public comment or communication before we go to the building update?
I don't think so.
Okay. I think you're up, Bob.
I already told you everything I know. the county board decided to go with Epic Construction as our construction management firm for the project. Brad has had a lot of input already in the last week and a half. Got it staked out for the borings. There's, I think, 28 or 29 sites that they need to bore. There's 10 around the buildings. I think the ones with pink ribbons on them are the corners of the buildings.
How many square feet are you going to be?
80,000.
Okay. Two stories? Three stories?
All one? Just one with a mezzanine. So
okay.
Two, part of it's two.
Yeah.
We're hoping to, today is supposed to be the day that we're at 50% of construction documents. We're going to go through equipment again on Monday, and the following Monday we're going to have a page turn through all the plans, and next Wednesday is state review by DOC on the jail for the first time, so making progress. We're hoping to bid the project the end of May, first part of June, have all the contracts to approve at the county board meeting in June, and break ground sometime in July. Occupy it before winter of 18. It's pretty aggressive. We'll see what happens. 21 point some acres have been surveyed off to change to commercial zoning to allow it to happen. 21.93 acres were surveyed off, which will be rezoned to commercial.
So everything is finally resolved that it will all be under one building and no longer.
Yes, that's everything.
The day that we move in, I can tell you.
So commercial.
I had two more phone calls.
Commercial don't need to be contiguous.
No. And we're working on of stumbling block there.
You'll have a few lift stations, won't you?
We would have one, and the city would have one.
Yeah, okay.
Under the current plan.
Okay.
But we need to get an adjacent landowner to consent to an easement. So we're back to square one yesterday, from what I heard, using the right of way. We'll see.
I know how that worked.
Ruth said something to me about AEDs in the building, the defibrillators, and I know Steve and I talked about that with them at one point. I don't know if that,
we don't have any spec in there yet.
I'm going to email Kevin about that, because
I've been getting lots of emails here lately about equipment and this and that.
I mean, ADRC would purchase that, I'm sure, but I don't know if it requires a special outlet or not, but I thought we should have had one here, but given the electrical concerns, I'm kind of glad. I really don't want to.
Looking way ahead, what happens to the old jail?
That's for sale.
God, that would make a neat restaurant or something, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You could eat in the
jail. It'd be a place for a quick trip, because the quick trip on the investors to
grow. That's true.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Dog kennel. we had that, the sheriff, chief deputy, and I had that discussion Monday afternoon. We're going to build our own out here and let these mates take care of it.
Well, they do that in some areas, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Animal therapy for the inmates, yeah.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of changes.
Any other questions on the building? All right, so we'll go on to advocacy reports. Regional board meeting.
Shirley looks at me like, oh no.
What do you think? Well, we know what's all going on. You know,
well, we really don't. We don't have a whole lot of clue yet.
Well, it's changing from day to day. I don't know. I read so much. I listen to the news and you think that something's been settled and it's not settled. And boy, I tell you, Part D, well, the drugs have really gone up in price. I don't know if everyone else notices it, but I sure do. Yeah, they have increased. I don't know how it's going to end up. I'm very leery about things. And there's such a change in staffing in certain positions.
That FSICF down here about the aging day coming up, that was brought up.
Yeah.
So.
How did you feel about it? Nothing certain, is it?
No, nothing is. They're trying to get the different Trump's plan through yet, so.
I think the biggest concern of the regional board right now, too, is the dementia care specialist position, which I also have listed on here, not being funded, so.
Only through the end of the year, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm. It's not in the governor's budget. And that's a concern because she's really done a lot of work. And I just printed off some things. I'm sorry, I'll have it available after the meeting for you. And how much she has really done in the four-county area and just in grant alone. So that's just been an interesting... it's really blown up that position a lot more than I even expected it to, and the statistics I think are really good, so I think that's something we're hoping that we can see in there. Interestingly, the Alliance, Alzheimer and Dementia Alliance came out kind of against the dementia care specialists, so I have that letter available to you too that you can read from the Alliance, who interestingly enough has a right now still has an office in this building, so.
And they're against the position?
Yes, they are.
I'll let you read
the letter, but yeah. So, well, I think they weren't given the dementia care money it was given to the ADRC, so I think that's probably the issues around it. But so under the May 17th Aging Advocacy Day, that is a board meeting day for us. However, I do think it is really important that we get folks up to the Capitol. Most counties are trying to send at least a couple of people, if not bigger groups. I think there's 90 registered right now. So what are your feelings about that? I think we could probably get by without having that May meeting. I've looked at the agendas from the past. There's not that much. And if some of you would be interested maybe in going up to the Capitol, I think that would be great. I just think it's always good to get our voice out there and talk with our legislators and kind of show up.
Number. Kind of number.
Yeah.
Well, couldn't there be something done that we could get together and go?
Well, the R groups, they just did it for the first time last year, and they did it late, and it fell on a board meeting last year, too, and because of that, we didn't attend. Mary did. They haven't got it to the point where they've got it set up real good, so we were talking with some other people about buses, but it's kind of a mess up around the square with buses and getting seniors to... You know, the Capitol's not the most friendly place to get to if you're a senior that has some mobility issues. So I was going to talk to Janet a little bit further because they don't have any, sometimes when they do these events, they have a place for buses and they can, so you can get people with ease, or they have it at the end of the park so you just have to walk across the street. They don't have that right now. So I'm a little, and she's, because of the number of groups, she's not exactly sure where she's having it. So as I get more information on that, you know, I think we'll kind of decide whether we can take a bus or not. But right now my feeling is it would be very difficult because I'm not sure where we'd have to drop people off at. And if you get dropped off at that bottom part where you have to walk up that hill, that can be an awful long walk for,
the traffic is terrible.
It is. So I do have some concerns about that. But and we were talking as a group. Linda from Greene County wasn't so sure that she was going to do that either because of that situation. And in Iowa wasn't either. I just talked to one of our school bus drivers the other day who was up there, and he said there's detours. And I haven't been up there. Have you been up there recently, Bob, to the Capitol? Because he said there were detours, and
yeah,
it was kind of a mess.
All over.
Yeah. So, yeah. I thought I would just play it by ear with Janet and see if she comes up with a better spot. So, in past years, when I've been to events there, they've been, it's nice when they can have something at the end of the park because it's valet parking. You can get your car parked. You can just walk across the street. It works out pretty nicely. But I'm not sure. But what are your feelings about the board meeting? Do you, and would any of you be interested in attending? So.
I'm leaving on a trip like the day after, so I don't think I would be able to.
Okay. I might be.
Okay, I will get
my life.
Okay, yes, I get that.
I might be too, but it depends on what's going on at that time.
Okay.
Do you know what time of day they're going to try to have a program?
I'm guessing it's around 10. Janet was going to get something out, and I'll see, because we just met yesterday, and she was doing some switching around. But I'm guessing it's probably about 10 o'clock, because they'll do maybe a little programming and then send people up. So, I mean, we can hold the board meeting too. I just, I can try to go up there a little later in the day too. But I do think our presence is warranted since then.
Right now I have two conflicts that day, so.
Okay.
I have a conflict also.
Okay.
So but by the same token, we can cancel the board meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not one of the conflicts.
Yeah.
Okay. So is everyone okay with that? Is that a general consensus that we cancel?
Do you need a motion?
It probably would help, yeah.
I'll make a motion we cancel the May meeting.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, so no meeting in May.
And I will get information. What I'll do is I'll just send information out to everybody. Janet may have it out even by this afternoon. But I know she had said that her spot was only for I think like 70 and she's got 90, so she was looking for a different spot. So I'm not quite sure exactly what she's got planned.
Lori, at the regional meetings, do they ever discuss regionalization of ADRC more than it has been now?
Well, ADRC is regional. The interesting thing, we just had to talk about this yesterday at the WAR meeting, is they are talking about aging in some areas. Aging is across town and ADRC is over here yet. And they are talking about getting all those together. Vernon County is just integrating their ADRC with their aging. La Crosse is doing the same thing. So in terms of us being integrated, we are fairly integrated. But at the state level, I just laugh because they do things that they don't integrate at the state level between aging and ADRC at all, and they're under the same bureau. And that drives me kind of crazy, mm-hmm. because they want this integration, and we're pretty close to, you know, we could probably be a little more integrated with things, but when they talk integration, they haven't really talked county integration of the aging programs, because the aging funding has always come directly to the counties, where the ADRC comes regionally. So, you know, who knows how that'll happen in the future, but there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of county territory issues with the aging programs, I think. So, and the counties, that aging money requires county match. So there again, when you start looking at regionalizing that, it gets to be a little bit, as you put in county money, it gets to be, ADRC doesn't have any county levy in it. So it gets to be a little bit of a interesting thing. So I don't know if they'll ever get to that level or not. They can't even get their own meetings together. I was just irritated with them because they scheduled, we have an ADRC, we had an aging meeting this week through GWAR. We have an ADRC Connect meeting next week. Then we have a nutrition director's meeting Thursday and Friday, but they did a meal cost thing on that Wednesday for directors. It's the same day as my ADRC, so it's like you're all in the bureau and you just scheduled the meeting on a day I already have a meeting. So I need to be, it's just crazy. So I'm like, you know, maybe we need to start integration up at the bureau and look at how you're going to do that, and then look at eventually get to the county level. Because if they can't figure it out at their, then they're all in one agency.
Sounds like they need lean training.
They do lean. They've actually done a couple lean projects. So it's that is interesting that you would say that, because the state is doing some lean. Their encounter contacts, some of the training we've been doing is a result of one of their lean projects. So it's just, I think everything at that level takes so long. If they revise a form or they do anything. We've had draft regulations for nutrition standards for, well, I bet almost 2 years. They're still not passed through the state. That's like, really? What? I mean, yeah, I don't know. If they could ever get it together, I think right now they're just working on trying to get the actual aging and ADRCs in one spot, which makes absolute sense, because if you're in La Crosse, they literally are on two different sides of town. So if you go to the wrong one, so you're looking for elder benefits and you go to ADRC because elder benefits is an aging program, now you've gone over here and now you've got to go all the way over here. So it's just, that's nuts. So, yeah. I think there'll be always a fight to keep the aging programs local just because they are for seniors and you don't want people traveling. But I do think, you know, I do think you might see more things looked at regional or regional collaborations. Because we're already doing that in transportation. We're already doing that with ADRC. We're doing that with some prevention. So, and that's actually been on our own. So.
Okay, any other questions?
So I will get you the information, and then you can let me know if you're interested, and you know, we'll go from there.
Okay, transportation program.
All right, I am going to get Mariah, and she is going to just give you a little brief update on transportation. been trying to bring in different programming so that you can get a feel for everything we do. And Mariah hasn't had a chance, and she's just been chomping at the bit to get in here and meet with the board. So
I'm going to pass out one of my transportation brochures to everyone, and they can kind of take a look and keep it and hand it out to somebody that might benefit from it. Again, my name is Mariah. I've been with the ADRC since October of 2014. In April of 2015, I started in the transportation department. In the transportation department, I have four different types of transportation that I oversee and coordinate. One is the buses. We have buses going Monday through Friday, and then we do have special trips that we plan. One of the things we like to do is in December go down to see the lights in Dubuque and take the, you know, elderly especially, get them down there, get a good meal in them before Christmas, you know, and that's kind of their outing. We go to the apple orchards. We do other, you know, special shopping trips and things just to get them out and get them, you know, in different communities and doing different things. The taxis, we run taxi, the Dodgeville taxi is ran through our office, even though it's Iowa County. And then we do the Grant County taxi, which has 2 days a week in Lancaster, and then it splits 2 other days between Fenimore and Boscobel. They do a half day, you know, alternating those 2 days. We do specialized transportation, which is wheelchair transportation. We have one individual that we do transport 4 days a week, morning and afternoon, over to SOC. And then we do other wheelchair transportation as needed by request. One of the things that we do like to do when we can is help with, you know, social outings, you know, for people who are wheelchair bound, get them to their family weddings, funerals, you know, reunions, and get them out. Did you have anything?
Nope.
Okay. And then we have the volunteer drivers, which is my biggest time-consuming scheduling. Usually on any given day, I have about 10 volunteer drivers out taking people to their appointments. We focus mainly on medical appointments. We do help out with other things if we can, if we have drivers available, but our main focus is medical appointments. And with the volunteer drivers, we currently are serving 4 dialysis patients, which go to dialysis 3 times a week. And that's, you know, no matter what the weather is, no matter what holidays, you know, they have to get there for those treatments. And so we have wonderful volunteers that, you know, step up to take care of those patients. So, and of course, with the buses, the taxis, the wheelchair vans, all of that, I get to oversee the maintenance, the repairs. We do DOT inspections yearly. And then with that, you know, we have quarterly reports that Lori thankfully submits those for me, but I help compile all the information so that there's 2 sets of eyes on all the data that she's submitting. I think that pretty much sums up those programs. One of the things we do help some of the other local agencies. We help, you know, with Unified with transportation. We also, you know, will do transportation for social services. And then hospice calls us once in a while, unfortunately, you know, to help out with, you know, one of the last ones I did was a gentleman who, you know, just wanted to drive by the farm one last time, you know, things like that. So we try to help out in as many ways as we can. Like I said, it's you know, we are limited at times to what we have for volunteers. Right now I have about 23 volunteers. And, you know, some of those volunteers, you know, it's 1 day a week. You know, they're available 1 day a week for me. There's other volunteers that would drive 7 days a week and do 2 trips a day. you know, I almost have to limit them to what I'm, you know, giving to them because I don't want to wear them out. We're always looking for volunteers. You know, that's something if you have someone who, you know, would have a little bit of time and want to give that up, you know, give them our name and number here because, like I said, our program, as far as the transportation, is something that it's needed more than I, you know, even realized when I stepped into the program. Many, many people are staying in their homes as long as possible, but, you know, reach that point where they can't drive themselves and, you know, their family members are working longer and aren't available to get them to their appointments and things too. With the transportation, we also are scheduling rides for Community Link, which was continuous, and Iris, Wisconsin Cares. And so then I do all of the billing for that. Not just the billing for transportation, but I also do home-delivered meals billing also. And we have a program set up through the Veterans Office where they will reimburse for transportation for veterans to get to their appointments, whether it be, you know, just to Madison, you know, any of the veterans' offices for for their medical appointments, but they will, you know, also reimburse for going to get groceries or their local appointments also. It doesn't have to just be to one of the veterans' hospitals for appointments.
It used to be the veterans could only use their own van, and a lot of them didn't like that because they had to share that van with maybe a couple riders going to Madison, and they could, like, leave at 6 in the morning and not get home till like, 7 at night. It was a long day. So a lot of them were just using us anyways. So the Veterans Office got a grant, and I think they changed kind of their reimbursement procedures for that or whatever, and now they can utilize our program. Some of them were utilizing it just with their own money. But so that's I think, a really nice collab that we just got going this past year.
Yeah, and it's, you know, for the veterans that are using the program, like Laura said, they shied away from the veterans' transportation because many of them said it would be a 13-hour day. They might get picked up in Fenimore, but they would swing down to Keeler, go over, you know, there was the radius in which they were picking up, they would pick up until that van was full, make their way to an appointment in Madison, and then start the drop-off process. So, and there was sometimes it was over the 12, 13-hour mark that they were on that bus. So, it helps meet their needs better. You know, they can't be in a vehicle for that long, you know. They're elderly, you know. It's hard on them. So it's been a good program we've got with them. One of the things, like I said, I do the billing for not only just the transportation, but with the other programs that we provide services for. But one of the things I did when I started in the program, everything was on paper. And so I've been able to computerize everything. And it took a while, but now that everything's computerized, I feel like the organization, the efficiency, you know, we talk about the lean project. Yep. It's been wonderful. And so, not to toot my own horn on that, but I'm very proud of that I've got everything, you know, the organization especially has been wonderful. I already talked about volunteers. I can't stress enough how important our volunteers are. Does anyone have any questions, suggestions, feedback for me as far as transportation goes?
How do you handle it, like when you're transporting somebody that's in a wheelchair or needs assistance with toileting? Is the driver able to do things
they,
like that?
The driver does not. Usually they would have an assistant or an aide that goes with them. Lots of times the family there'll either be family members at the pickup that will have the individual ready for their trip. And sometimes we have family members that ride along. I know one particular case, we have a family member that is a caretaker that will, you know, have the individual ready for their appointment, get them loaded or, you know, be there for the loading, but then there's another family member on the other end that meets them at appointments and things like that. And that is one of the things our drivers do not, you know, go into appointments with them. They simply get them to their appointments.
Right, we'll help them into the building if need be a little bit. But with the volunteer drivers, the riders do have to be ambulatory. I mean, they can, if they can get their wheelchair in and out, we've done a little bit of that. But for the most part, they need to be ambulatory. Otherwise, we use the wheelchair.
Right, and our volunteer drivers do not transport wheelchairs. You know, even if somebody can transport or transfer out of their wheelchair, that's just, you know, with lifting and
walkers,
what
I meant.
You know, somebody gets into the vehicle, then they will transport the walkers. And, you know, walk
affects
them.
It's their liability.
Yeah.
So.
That's one of the things, you know, with the bus service picks you up at the door, same as taxi picks you up at the door, and they will, you know, walk you to and from the vehicles, and then if they've been out shopping,
they'll
carry groceries in and things like that. They try to assist, you know, as much as possible. So,
they're very good. And I am compiling, speaking of lean, I am compiling a list of all our projects because Joyce doesn't think we're doing them all here. We've done actually quite a few, but I guess maybe. So I am compiling and I am going through. I didn't get it finished yesterday. I was hoping to, but Mariah has really undertaken many, many lean projects in transportation and sort of transformed the billing and collecting revenue and how we do it. It's actually showed. If you look at our revenue, you're seeing that we're getting revenue in at a much better rate than we used to. We do charge for family care providers, the continuous community link Inc. now, Wisconsin Cares, all of those. We do charge a setup fee that kind of covers her costs, her wage to set those rides up. So we don't do that for riders in the TRIPS program, but we do it for those agencies that we're providing services to. So again, that's a little bit more of a revenue maker for us. And it's time consuming, so she has to find them rides. She's really done an excellent job of getting that. I mean, our maintenance, we're getting much better at knowing when maintenance is due. I'm hoping to use Facility Dude at some point in the future to get our vehicles on that so that we can kind of know what's been done for a vehicle. Because the DOT actually comes out and audits that, and we didn't have a real good process other than paper. And, now I know if I can, and some of it still is paper because we keep places and things like that, but it's much easier to go, you know, look at, okay, I need to know what this van has had done and find it, you know, I'm not searching through stuff. So she's done an excellent job. Thank you. So, any questions? So, all right. We do a lot of transportation out here, so.
We do, which is wonderful that we're able to serve that many and let them stay in their homes. And so, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anytime if you have questions, feel free to give me a call.
See, that wasn't so bad. No.
It wasn't.
All right, next is volunteer recognition events.
We have volunteer recognition coming up this week at Boscobel on Friday. We are combining kind of our volunteer recognition with some training too, because we always have to provide training to volunteers, and that's what we have done with our drivers over the last few years, is we provide kind of a training volunteer party event, because otherwise it's hard to get them for a couple of things. So Whitney is going to be there to do some dementia communicating with people with dementia, and Ruth is doing some red flag training, because our volunteers who home deliver meals are usually sometimes the only eyes a person, you know, that comes in contact with a person all day. And in fact, I'm going to have Ruth here, well, probably June now, to talk about our survey. But one of the things people wrote on our home-delivered surveys was sometimes that driver is the only person they talk to all day long. And it's very brief. But also, so our drivers oftentimes will maybe see something before somebody else, that somebody's starting to look a little disheveled, or maybe they're a little more confused, and or also they don't answer the door. I mean, there's a handful of times that we do an emergency contact on somebody because, you know, they didn't come to the door and the driver's concerned. So we will do that red flags training and just kind of giving them some clues as to what to look for and maybe report back to the manager. So that we, if we need to, we can kind of touch base and see if there's an issue. And many times there has been. You know, there's been times that someone has fallen and they couldn't get to the phone. And our drivers were the ones that, our volunteer drivers were the ones that got help. So, or recognized the situation and we got them help. So we are doing that one. Baskerville is Friday on the 21st. And we are doing one in Platteville on the 25th. And we have yet, we are doing, I think, Bagley and Cassville on May 3rd, I believe, is going to be that one. We have to work that one out. So we are doing the training. We're having some refreshments and cupcakes. And we are doing a spin to win. We have a spin the wheel. Game, I don't know, to spin the wheel, and they can win a door prize, so it's just something a little fun to make it a little bit more festive and make it a little bit more light after the training, because it's not really uplifting training that you're doing, so, but it is necessary. So yeah, we're trying to get those out. So if you're around and you are, you know, you want to stop in, we would be happy. The one in Platteville is at 1:30, and Baskerville's is 1:32. So
are they both at the senior center?
Baskerville is at the meal site, the senior center, and the same with Platteville is at the senior site as well. Yes. And same with Cassville and Bagley, but I don't think Ruth has that one just scheduled yet, so I think that one might be at Bagley. Because they have a few more volunteers there, so. Okay. So yes, and our, just so you know, our theme is you're an important piece of the puzzle, or you're a key piece to our success. We have a puzzle piece, so they're getting little puzzle books too, word searches and Sudoku and crosswords, I think, or something for just little thank you. Yes, we always try to give something, and then they'll get the spin to win thing. So. The little door prize, so hopefully it'll be nice. So.
Okay, so on to the vouchers.
Courtney, do we have anything out of the ordinary? I have not spent a lot of time looking at vouchers this week, but I approved them all, so.
I don't believe so.
I don't think we have anything that, we've maybe had a vehicle repair or two.
I just wondered, what is that liturgical publications?
The Senior Center ad. It's okay. The Senior Center newsletter that we have an ad in through ADRC. And it's done through, yes, this. They do a lot of newsletters for senior centers, for churches, and a lot of the church programming is done through there. So, yeah, that is a one-time cost. That is not...
I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah, and it's a little, I think it's a little pricey. We use ADRC money to put the ad in, but it is one of our bigger areas that goes out to all of Platteville. At least I'm hoping it's going out to all of Platteville because I think it's kind of expensive. But.
Any questions on the vouchers? We need a motion to approve.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passed. Then we have the financial report.
Any questions on that? I've been through this a little closer, so I approve the vouchers every week, so I don't pay much attention to the voucher list when it comes out because I've already approved it individually. But
anybody have any?
I think we're pretty much on track with most everything. We are going to be doing. We are moving. I have gone through. We're reallocating Mariah's wages a little bit more to trips and things like that. That's causing a little bit more. I'm also reallocating my wages a little bit more to transportation just because of we're just trying to fine tune that as best we can. So,
but if there aren't any questions or comments, do we have a motion to approve the financial report?
I will.
And second?
Yes, second.
Pat seconded. So all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. So on to the Grant County Director report.
Yeah, I apologize, I don't have a written one. I was literally just jotting notes. So it's a crazy week, and I was in Madison all day yesterday. So we have been very busy. INA staff had training a few weeks ago in Dodgeville. We're doing a quality improvement project. We have the state ADRC uses NIOTEX as a quality improvement project. It's a similar thing, same as kind of Lean. Only NIOTEX is more of a rapid cycle, where Lean is a little bit longer and drawn out. And one of the things, probably one of the only things that came out of our survey was our follow-ups weren't maybe, I think the only thing that wasn't better than the state average was our follow-ups. So we are doing a quality improvement project on our follow-ups, because follow-ups in the survey have been shown to increase customer satisfaction if they get a follow-up call. Only certain things are kind of followed up on. It doesn't lend itself to everything. But so staff are working on that. That is their charge for the next 3 months, is to increase their follow-ups, and they're trying. So this month they're scheduling them on the calendar, and they're doing some things. After this month, we'll look at, you know, what worked and what didn't, and decide whether we're going to continue that for May or if we're going to change it up a little bit. So we do it in 3 months, and you can either scrap it, keep it, whatever the case may be. So INA staff are working on that. So we're hoping to see follow-ups. The thing is we got to hit on something that's just not good for 3 months, because there's incentives here for 3 months. They get a, you know, they get a little staff incentive party after 3 months. But, you know, we can't provide a little party every month. So. So we have to hit on something that works too, and not just have a party. So because we want to see those up all the time. They also had some training on encounter contacts. That is one of the Lean projects. The state found out they didn't really have standard operating procedures on encounter contacts and how you enter them, and so they've worked really hard in providing training to INA staff throughout the state so that they are consistent and they get the same message. And that's been actually very good, and I think staff are very appreciative of that, because it's been, they know how to enter things now, and I think it's increased our encounters. So that's a good thing. We've had meal site manager meeting, and are going through, while the regulations are still in draft form, for nutrition, they pretty much are what they are. They've kind of been using them to implement already. So we are actually going through those regulations. We just started on this past one with staff, because a lot of times they just think I'm making this stuff up. And I'm not. And a lot of the things in there have just been things that have been in there a while, but either have slid, you know, and just people just kind of quit doing them or whatever. So we are literally just kind of taking, I mean, we're not reading them word for word, but we are going through those and seeing, so that they can understand where some of the policies and procedures that we're implementing are coming from. That they aren't just things that Ruth and I sit in the office and think about, but they're actually state. Do I agree with all of them? No, I don't. But do I have to implement them? Yes, I do. So we are going through that. And I think that's going to be good. I think I just think you need to know what, you know, what regs are out there. So, Nutrition Council Advisory also met. And we kind of updated them on numbers and things where that are. And I apologize because I'm not, do we have a nutrition report in here? Did I see it, Courtney?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, you do. Courtney has been working on that part, so I think we're getting firmer and firmer on that. We have revised that form and spreadsheet so many times, but Courtney's been really good about that. So we did go through that with the meal site manager. We actually had her doing some quick changes to that. There's just been wrong formulas and different things, but I think Courtney has a really good handle on it now, so I appreciate the fact that she spent some time with it. So, cause
I just had one question on that one. It said for the Montford meal site, the average home-delivered meal donation is 78 cents.
Wow.
And then a dollar in Muscadet?
Yeah. They are some of our lowest ones. The other issue I'm going to say with that donation one, though, is there's some things that are left out of that donation per site. If a person uses their food share, they don't, that doesn't get directly into that meal site's manager's account because it comes through the state and it comes back to us and just goes into a general account. So there are some things. So you have to look at that a little bit with that perspective in mind. But we do have some that are very, very low, and we're not getting.
What do they mean by donations?
There's a suggested donation. The Older Americans Act requires that we do a suggested donation for meals.
We can't require somebody
to pay.
Instead of the $350, I understand.
So the suggested donation is $350, but if someone chooses to provide less, we're not supposed to know what their donation is. But when you look at some of those, then that's a concern because obviously, if we don't get back some revenue. You know, at some point we can't continue to provide services to everybody. So,
and yeah, I guess another way of looking at it is they must really need the services if they're that poor.
That is.
But I know some of these people that do that. They don't need the services.
Some, and that might happen too. So, it can go both ways on that.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes it's a matter of just having staff presented in a manner too that, you know, I know we've got some that probably pay full price and can't afford it at all. So, but those are things we do talk about at the Nutrition Council as well because they need, you know, some people just think it's a free. They're, you know, we've had people call and say, you know, I'm going to be 60 next year so I get free meals. And we're like, well, here's how it works, you know. We did have Carrie Jacqueline from, who's a legislative aide for Ron Kind. She had called me a few days, about a week before the Nutrition Council meeting, and wanted to stop out that same morning that we had Nutrition Council advisory meeting. She was on her way to another meeting and asked if she could stop and meet with us. So I said yes, and I asked her, you know, since we had the advisory committee meeting, and we had actually done a phone conference, several of them couldn't make it here. If she would be willing to just field any questions from them. So that was kind of a nice opportunity for them to get to speak with her and just and talk a little bit about their concerns as well. So
she does a good job.
She does. She does. So that was nice. So and we you know, we just kind of spoke at what's happening at the federal level, which is all kind of up in the air as well. I think she'll be back, and I think the advisory committee members were very impressed that she was willing to meet with them. So, met with Platteville City. So John already talked about that. We are doing a transportation contract with them. As you know, we did offer, I think that was approved by you guys a couple months ago, and I just got it back from Ben, they're going to provide transportation one day a week, but we're going to provide it through our 8521 grant. And we're going to do it through the end of this year, and then we'll reevaluate it and see if, you know, if it's working for us. The state thought it was a great idea, so we'll see how it goes. We are charging revenue for that. We're charging a fare for that, so I'm hoping it doesn't decrease our food revenue, our meal site revenue very much, because, we have to because we do it on the other day. And so I said if we're going to take it out of our grant, we have to charge a fare because that's what we do with the others. So we did hire a meal site manager for Cassville, Dennis Kelly. I literally just spoke with him yesterday, and he will be starting on May 3rd. Very nice man. I think he'll do well. He was a cook in the Army and did some other things, so he's got a little bit of food service background, too. GWAR meeting was yesterday. Probably a lot of business development initiative coming out of GWAR, which is our state agency that OAA funds, our Older Americans Act funds are funneled through the Greater Wisconsin Area on Aging. And they're looking at doing a lot of business development initiatives with us, so like how we already do transportation with family care and providing more meals. They're looking at doing more things like with our prevention activities, like maybe like DE Health Insurance might contract with us to do so many. ADRC has kind of a conflict with that, but I guess that's, or Medicaid did, but I guess they've got that resolved. So they're looking at doing more of that to develop more revenue. So that's been kind of a big thing there. Janet Zander talked a long time on budgets, but really basically there's not much out there yet that they know. She is willing to come out and talk about how some things in the Affordable Care Act, because it is being revisited, how some things might impact seniors and some things that are in the Affordable Care Act that impact Medicare and Medicaid. People kind of think it's only Medicare or Medicaid. It can also impact employer-sponsored insurance and things like that. So she did offer, they are doing some, she's got some volunteers and they are making some rounds around the state and providing like a forum for that. So Linda Bowl from Greene County and I did talk about possibly having her come out in the Four County area if seniors might be interested in that, because I think, you know, it's, the Affordable Care Act isn't necessarily, I think, off the table. She did talk, too, about there's nothing in place to keep our OAA. In the past, OAA has kind of been protected from the sequestration cuts, but she did talk about there is nothing in place in the future for that. So I kind of thought sequestration was gone, but I guess it's not. So I dealt with that in Head Start, but I haven't really dealt with it through here. So that could be coming back to haunt us a little bit. There is still, in 2018, some talk of cutting domestic spending, which could affect us, but we don't know how. So that there is that 18% figure being talked about. So we don't really know how that will be. The other big thing is the state is looking at how they're going to provide funding to the counties. So they've been working on this funding formula, which they won't tell us what it is because it's not been approved. They have to get it approved, I think, by Medicaid and the state. So it's still out there. There's a little disconnect, I think, between state and local sometimes. And their point was, well, it won't be this year. It'll be for, like, the 2018 budget. Well, we all start the 2018 budget process in about May. Yeah. You know, we have our first meetings May, June. So it's like... it would be kind of nice to know what your funding formula is going to be before you write. They did say that there would be no more than a 5% decrease as a floor and a 10% increase as a max. So potentially we could be cut 5%. So, but yeah, it would be nice if they would get that taken care of before the budget were actually approved, because we'd really, so I'll talk with Nancy about that, maybe, we'll, like I said, before we get started, but we may budget just a little bit lower to be on the safe side for some of our OAA programs, because I don't really want to be expecting revenue that we won't get, and I don't, and since I have no idea how the funding formula is even remotely being calculated, they simply would not tell us, so is there, not sure. Senior Expo, it was in Belmont. We had a table there. Nicole went there. And we are, last but not least, there was a lot more, but we are working with a lean project with emergency management. When Steve has pointed out many times that Grant County is one of the most disaster-prone counties in the state, which is just Nice to know. It's also second to Dane County in terms of the number of tornado touchdowns, I found out this week as well. So, but anyway, social services, public health, ADRC are usually some of the first agencies on the scene of a disaster. What we don't really have any standard operating procedures, so to speak of, in that we just kind of have pulled things together, and I think done a pretty good job of it. But so we're kind of looking at that process. Dave would have some input in that too. One of the things that came out of the flood that we found very effective was a case manager, and Dave was a temporary case manager in Boscobel for about a year, weren't you?
Yeah, it's close to a year.
And so we're looking at that process and trying to develop, probably I'm thinking it'll end up developing some standard operating procedures and how we can maybe use that case management process. And so that all the agencies can kind of know what's going on, that when we get to a disaster, we know what we're doing from the get-go. And hopefully that we can do like a file sharing system so that if Department of Health is working with this person and I'm working with this person and the case manager is also, that we all kind of know what's going on without having to pick up a phone all the time and reach out to someone. So we just literally had one meeting on that. So there's more to come on that as we go. But and hopefully June seems to be our most disaster prone month. In my experience in 4 years, we've had two disasters in June. So hopefully we'll have things in place pretty quickly.
Is there anything within the building here, alert system?
Yes.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, a couple of years ago we had tornado sirens and we didn't know they were going off in Lancaster because we couldn't hear them. In talking with Steve, they fitted us with an emergency, what is it called, emergency alert system. So it goes off every week when they test it, and it goes off. What I did not know, because I wasn't here the day they brought it, was it also has a pager that you can take to your designated shelter, which I just realized when Steve sent out an email to us the other day talking about this and offering it to other agencies and businesses, and I'm like, oh, we should have that pager.
And you had it?
And I started to write him an email saying we should have that pager, and then I thought, maybe I should go out and look at ours. Sure enough, there's the pager. So we have a pager that we can actually take if in case there's a tornado, and we can get information that way as well.
Those are good courses. I just finished them up, too. I've gotten four of them now for storm watchers.
Yeah.
Those are really good courses.
Well, apparently he said... He showed us a map in Grant County, which I was I was not aware of.
Steve Brown and the guy from La Crosse teaches the course.
Okay,
I went
to him.
They're pretty good, aren't they? Yeah.
So where is your Seek Shelter location?
It has been just in the hallways or in the bathrooms. Most of the door, what has been the standard procedure was to shut all the office doors and gather in the hallway.
But they do issue life jackets here.
Yeah. If water comes, I'm just getting out. I'm not drowning here. So that has been. And, I mean, this building we've had a tornado warning here. I have not been here. I've been out of the office that day.
They have to test them here shortly, too, aren't they, the sirens?
Tomorrow.
I thought it was coming up.
Tomorrow is the test.
Twice, I believe.
It is twice, and when we originally got the original article from the state, they didn't say it was twice, so I have concerns about that second one.
Twice.
And I noticed the radio station this morning only talked about it once tomorrow. And I think that second one at 6:45 or whatever is going to freak some people out, because they might not know.
Where's the reassembly area for evacuation?
A good question. I don't know that answer right now, Mr. Timmerman. But we are working on that. So.
Well, not only do you need to know those places, but you need to practice them.
Yes,
you really
exactly.
Need to. All of a sudden, somebody walks in and says, we've got a tornado 3 minutes from here right now.
Yeah.
What do? Scramble. Do it.
Yeah.
A couple times a year.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it will fall apart so
fast. We just had that conversation yesterday that I realized we don't have. I think I think they did have a plan in place, and I think it's either, or I think it's Orchard Manor, but I need to go look at that. So, because we are going to practice it tomorrow, so that was my intent. So.
It's funny, when we were at Orchard, when I was at Orchard Manor, our plan for the reassembly was here.
Here, yeah, and I think that is the case.
Right, yeah.
Well, there isn't a lot other than the two buildings to do, so.
That's probably the one good thing about this building is staff tell me it's very sturdy, so. So, yeah, we will be looking at that, but that has come to my attention. And we are working on the emergency contingency plans and all of that, so we're working with Steve on that as well. So,
good.
Yeah. Some of those were probably in place and just over the years. I just wasn't aware of them when I came in. We kind of think of that as it goes. And doing that article yesterday was one of them that made me think of it. So I'm like, it's not just a plan to get people. Well, we also need to know who's in the building, because that's another, problem for us. We need to know who has clients. So, and I'm not sure how it was done in the past, but sometimes I know not all staff left their offices. And my thing is, you will all come into the hallway and shut your doors. That it's not a. Do you want to stay and work? If the sirens are going off, then it's you have to. So, and clients as well have to come out. We're not going to let clients, I guess I can't force a client from not walking out the door, but I'm going to highly recommend that they stay put. Any questions? So yes, that will be tomorrow. So the tornado watch will be issued, I think, at 1, and then the warning goes off at 1:45, right?
Yep.
And then it's at 6, and then 6:45, I believe. So unless there's bad weather, and then it gets all confusing. So.
Yeah. And that's happened in the past, too.
Yeah.
Any other items of business? Or?
I'm going to grab just a couple of that seaway sheet, so you can go ahead and adjourn, and I'm just going to grab that if anyone wants to see that. It's not really mentioned here, especially.
And do you have any motion to adjourn?
So
I second you. Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Adjourned.
Efficiently. Yeah, we're doing my whole group. And that's separate.
Do you like your new job?
Yeah, I already found one.
And your others?
Looks like.